Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Friday, March 25th. When you feel like you lack something, the temptation to fill the void can be strong. Here's some insight into how to get your needs met the Lord's way.
If I should ask you, what are your needs? Some of you give me a long list. Some of you give me a short list. But the important thing is not what our needs are, but how you get them met. And remember this. The bottom line of all sin is trying to get my needs met independently of God's way and God's timing. All sin, in essence, is trying to get my needs met independently of God's way, God's method, and God's timing. So it's not a question of what needs we have, because God knows all about those, but how do we get our needs met? So I want you to turn, if you will, to a passage that you may think, well, what does this have to do with getting your needs met? But Matthew chapter 6, beginning with the 25th verse, and I want us to read through the rest of that chapter. And this is the chapter in which he deals the problem also of anxiety. But in this passage is an answer that once you settle the issue of how you're going to get your needs met, God will begin to work in your life in a very unusual way. So he says, beginning in verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so raised the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith?" Then he says, "Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles or the pagans eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." He gives us three commands here. Verse 25, "I say to you, do not be anxious." Verse 31, "Do not be anxious." Verse 34, "Do not be anxious." That is, don't worry about it. Don't get all upset. Don't get anxious and worried and frustrated about the whole issue. And then what he does, he gives us four illustrations as why we shouldn't. He says, here's the futility of it all. Look, if you will, beginning in verse 26. From nature, he says, look at the birds. Now, the birds neither sow nor reap. They don't worry, fret, flying around so anxious. He says, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? So if you look at the birds, you realize it's futile to be worried about getting our needs met. Secondly, he says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single cubit to his lifespan? That is, we can't do anything about the length of our life or how tall we are. You can't do anything about that. Then he says, I want you to look at the lilies of the field. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. He said, even Solomon, remember that Solomon reigned as king in Israel at the height of its glory. And he said he couldn't even match the lilies of the field. Why are we worried about those? He says, because God arrays them like that. He says, likewise, the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, it's gone. All of those things just exist and live. And he says, your heavenly Father takes care of every single one of them. God knows every single thing there is to know about us. He knows every emotion that you have. He knows those emotional needs you have. He knows the physical needs, the material needs. He knows the financial needs. He knows every single need we have because he says everything is laid bare to him. He's omniscient. That is, there's not anything that God doesn't know past, present, and future. You say, well, but I have needs that are coming. God knows all about the future because the future is always in the presence with God. Now, remember that. That no matter how long or how far in the future you and I are concerned about, that's always in the presence with God. He's already provided for every single need we'll ever have for the future. It's already been provided for, and so therefore we don't have to be concerned about that. And what is happening is that you and I are doubting God, and instead of expressing faith in Him, we are troubled by being focused on the circumstances and the needs rather than on the source of those needs. And I want you to turn back to 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter and the 9th verse. 2 Chronicles, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." That is, when you have God's support, you have all the support you need. And then, if you will look in Psalm 33, and there's a passage here. Psalm 33, and listen to what he says. In verse 13, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, He understands all their works." That is, God is looking and seeing intently into our heart, knowing our emotional needs, knowing our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our material needs. There's not a single thing that He's overlooked. He knows them all. Now, if you'll think about computers and what they can tell us and whatever information we feed them, what they tell us back, can you think for just a moment the infinite mind of an infinite God who knows everything, that is, all information has been computed properly? There are no mistakes that come out of the mind of God, no errors that come out of His mind. He never misjudges what you and I think or what we feel. He never misjudges our needs. He doesn't go by any clock that's either slow or fast, but God knows perfectly, absolutely, every single need at any and every given moment in our life, past, present, and future. There is not anything that you could think of that God hasn't already thought about. And you can't possibly think of any concern that you have that God not only has not thought about, but already provided for. So the truth is, what we have to ask is, what basis do I have for worrying about getting my needs met? What basis is it? And we don't have any basis for it. We have feelings about it, but we don't have any real scriptural basis for worrying about our future needs. That does not mean that we're not to plan, that we're not to be wise. We're not to invest wisely in either our time or our money. We're not to give it wisely, spend it wisely. All of that is a part of the way we get our needs met. And once in a while, when I get tempted to get concerned about something, I have to tell myself this: God, if it's too big for You, then just call me home, because I can't handle it anyway. I mean, let's just forget the whole mess right here. If You can't handle it, there is absolutely no point in me going on. And the truth is, He always can. We have no legitimate basis for worrying about getting our needs met. Now, I may not like the way God does it. I may not like His timing. I may not like who they come through or who they fail to come through. But the question is, does God know my needs? Yes, He knows them. What's He going to do about them? He's going to do exactly what He's done for birds and lilies and grass and all the other animals of the field. God is going to provide. So the question is, why is it that you and I are willing to rebel against God, disobey God, choose deliberately to get into sin, to get our needs met, needs we think that have to be met right now, and we disobey and rebel against God when we know that God has already said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That is, He has already provided for every single need I'll already have, now, will have in the future, and He knows them, every single one. What is the most pressing need that you have? Is it finances? Is it emotion, some emotional need that you have? Is it some relationship that needs to be dealt with? What is the most pressing need in your life? Let me ask you this. Do you feel sort of helpless to do anything about it? Then what are you going to do about it? If it is a pressing need and you feel helpless to do anything about it, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to wring your hands and say, "God, why don't You do something?" Or are you going to trust Him? Well, what He gives us in this passage is very simple, but here's the problem. most of us trip over the simple things. We say, oh, now you just got to be more, it's got to be more complex than that. Do you realize that in this passage, Jesus took the simplest things his hearers could understand? They understood birds and flowers and grass and measurements. He didn't talk about something they didn't understand. He made it as simple as possible. He said, here's the way you get your needs met. And he says, this is the way you do it. So move on down, if you will, and look in verse 33. He says, but seek first, put the priority on your interest in seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? This is God's promise. He says, if I put my priorities where they belong, God, listen to what he's saying. God assumes full responsibility for adding to me all of my needs, and God is never late, and he's never in too big of a hurry. Now, what is his kingdom? The kingdom of God is not necessarily a location. The kingdom of God, according to the scripture, is the rule of God. So when he says the kingdom of God is within you, that is the rule and the reign of Christ is within us. That is, when Jesus Christ's kingdom is active within my heart, that is, when I am living in his kingdom according to his authority, I am living under the lordship of Jesus Christ. What he's saying in this passage is this: seek the rule of Christ in your heart. That is, seek to know the will of God and to follow it, walking in his spirit, obeying God. The kingdom of God is the rule of God in our heart. So what he's saying is this: if I want to get my needs met, what am I to do? Am I to major on getting them met, or am I to major on my relationship to Jesus Christ? Now, if I have a problem with someone else, let's say there's hard feelings or misunderstanding or something, I've learned in my own heart the best way for me to deal with that is not to deal with them, but to deal with me. If there's a misunderstanding, I deal with me, let God deal with them. If I get to dealing with them, then I have a distracted mind. I got to think about me, them, and God. If I deal with me, God deals with them. I can focus on him, let him deal with me. It's amazing how they straighten up. But if I get to dealing with them, then I get myself in trouble. First of all, I come at it at a judgmental point of view, a critical point of view, evaluating it the way I see it and what they did to me or how they wronged me, then I'm going to get in trouble. If I seek the mind of Christ and I want Christ to dominate, to control, to rule, and to govern, and to guard, and to guide my life, and I major on that, it is amazing what happens to them. Now, he said, you want to get your needs met? Don't major on getting your needs met. Don't focus on your needs. Focus on what? Focus on living under the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Focus on what? Focus on walking in his will obediently to him. Now, the kingdom of God includes our reaching out to others. It includes the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth one of these days. But what he's primarily speaking of here is God's rule in my life. That is, I am to major and to seek and to pursue, and I am to work at, if necessary, being obedient to God. How am I going to be obedient to God? I got to find out what God wants me to do. How am I going to find out what God wants me to do? Get into God's Word and see what God says. When I get into God's Word and see what God says, then I know what God wants me to do. When I know what God wants me to do, then I can follow him. You say, well, I don't know what God wants. Then it's your responsibility to get in the Word and find out the will of God for your life. But the first step in getting my needs met is not working at getting them met, but doing what? Focusing my attention upon God's rule in my life, walking obediently before him. Because what's going to happen? If you walk obediently before God, God's going to guide you every step of the way. If I'm focusing out here on what to do here and what to do there, rather than on the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in my life, I'm going to make a mess of things. And of all of us, we'll have to confess, we've made a lot of messes a lot of times. Amen? Amen? Because we got our eyes off him, trying to do our thing, get our needs met in our way, instead of seeking and pursuing and diligently adhering to the will and the purpose and the plan of God, obediently walking before him. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God says, when you focus on my rule and my reign in your heart, he says, Listen to this. He didn't say, you'll manage all these things. He didn't say, you'll be able to get all this. He says, all your needs will be what? Added to you by whom? By God. Listen, he didn't say you'd get them all. He said, these things will be added to you. So God will guide us to make right decisions in our life. Now listen, he said, first of all, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then he said, seek what? He says, seek the righteousness of God. Now, what in the world is the righteousness of God? We can say, well, that's salvation. No, that's not what he's referring to here. What he's referring to in this passage is this. I am to pursue a life that is determined to be obedient to God and to develop the characteristics of Christ in my life, which begins with not something I add to me, but rather allowing Jesus Christ, who is our life, to express himself through us. What does he say in Romans 8:29? That God has predestined something, that God has predestined that you and I be conformed to his likeness. Why? Because God has assumed responsibility for meeting all of our needs. And so how does he get them met? God gets them met when we walk in obedience to him and allow the character of Christ who is within us to become a part of our conversation, our conduct, our character. That is, we are living, walking expressions of Christ. If I'm out here trying to get my needs met, I'm probably going to do some things that are out of character with Christ. But if I focus on who I am in him and who he is in me and what he's doing in my life and what he desires to do in my life, he says, I'm going to take care of those things. We major on character qualities that magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We major on following him. And what does he do? He takes care of all these things that you and I will never be able to manage. This little verse, it goes like this. He knows, he loves, and he cares. Nothing this truth condemns. He saves the very best for those who leave the choices to him. The choices of what and the choices of when. And so I want to ask you, what is it that you're already entangled with, trying to get some need met instead of letting God do it? What is the most pressing need of your life? And are you willing to trust the Lord to meet that need? And are you willing to focus your attention upon learning to walk obediently, submissively, under his lordship, majoring on building those qualities into your life that manifest and reflect and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, I want to tell you something. There's no way for me to tell you the way I'd like to. That works. It works. And folks who are out here trying to get it done their way, they're going to be awfully disappointed. And sometimes teenagers and young people, you've got to have it now. Well, you can have it now, but I want to remind you of something. Don't forget this. The consequences are coming later. And I'll tell you, you're not going to like them. Oh, you think you are. The devil says, not going to matter. You get over it. Don't worry about it. That's the devil's lie always. Don't worry about the future. That's his line. Don't worry about the future. God says, don't worry about the future too. But focus your attention upon me. The devil says, don't worry about the future. Go ahead and get your needs met. What he doesn't tell you is you're going to hurt, and 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 you're going to hurt. You focus your attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ, major on building character qualities, walking in his lordship, and what happens? You're going to be happy, you're going to be happy, you're going to be happy. It's just that simple. See, listen to one or two people. The devil's lies are God's truth. The devil's lie says, get it now. You better get it now. God's truth is, I give my very best to those who leave the choice to me.
Thank you for listening to How to Get Your Needs Met the Lord's Way. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.